I want to talk this morning about a man who saw by hearing. A man who saw by hearing. You know, brothers and sisters, we walk by faith, not by sight. And so it's really our hearing that enables us to see, because faith comes by hearing. And hearing helps us to have faith, and faith is what really gives us vision. I'm not talking about the physical eyes, but the eyes of the heart, the eyes of the mind, so much more important than our physical eyes. So let's take a look at this blind man's journey out of darkness and into light. And he does it in stages. Beautiful laying out of the stages of how he recovers his sight. Now, the first thing I want you to see, stage one, is the perception of the problem. The text simply says Jesus is leaving Jericho with a sizable crowd, and there was a blind man named Bartimaeus who sat by the roadside begging. Now, Bartimaeus is blind. Bartimaeus is blind, and he's poor. But although he is physically blind, he is not spiritually blind. I'll tell you why, because he knows he's got a problem. Hello? Brothers and sisters, he knows he has a problem. And you know, to know our troubles, to know our need, to know and to be in touch with our struggles, that's an important spiritual insight that many folks lack today. Some of you may have been to 12-step meetings, and you know that step one, you got to admit you got a problem, amen? You got to come to see. You got to come to see that there's a problem. So step one in coming to be able to see is for Bartimaeus to know he has a problem. And it is that knowledge that makes him call out and summon help. But again, don't overlook step one, coming to know the perception, if you will, of the problem, coming to know that we have a problem. Now, you know, the Lord had to rebuke the Pharisees one day, and the Pharisees were pointing out that there was a man who had been born blind. It was probably his parents' sin that caused him to be born blind, and finally Jesus has to rebuke the Pharisees, and he said, you know, they thought, you're not calling us blind, are you, Jesus? Who are you to call us blind, said the Pharisees. And the Pharisees said, you're not calling us blind, are you? And Jesus said this, if you were blind, there would be no sin in that. But because you say, we can see, your sin remains. And so it is that for all of us to come to accept that there are things that we don't see. Things about ourselves. Now, I'll bet you some other folks around you see him plenty good playing. But sometimes we don't see our own struggles. Sometimes it takes others to help us to see. But you know, we all struggle with such blindness. We struggle to see God. We struggle to see meaning in our life. We struggle to see where we're going and what things mean and come to understand. So, church, I don't know about you, but I just want to say, Lord, help me to see. My people perish for lack of vision, says the Lord. Help me by your word to begin to see why I was made, the purpose of my life, yes, even the purpose of problems. Help me to see, Lord, you. You know, church, let me just prove to you how blind we are. There is no one and no thing in this room today who is more present to you than God. And yet we see everything else and we struggle to see God. Are you praying with me? We're blind. We need help. So step one, stage one, the perception of the problem. This man is physically blind, but he has spiritual insight. He knows he has a problem. Now, step two, if you will, we go from stage one to stage two. Perception of the problem, now we see the proclamation that's prescribed. He's sitting there begging, and up till now, church, he would just be calling upon anybody who happened to be passing by. He'd jangle the cup, or he'd call, "Mercy, mercy!" But you know, no mere passerby and no one in this world can ultimately help him with his real problem. But he hears of Jesus. You see, he hears. Faith comes by hearing. And that's going to be the first step in opening his eyes. He hears of Jesus, and he shifts. He doesn't just say, "Anybody help?" He says, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." Oh, church. Come on, church. That's our cry. If you want to come out of blindness and into sight, if you want to come out of pain and into faith, call on Jesus. I said, call on Jesus. You know, again, so many of us in this world, I don't just mean us here, but so many in this world, they cry out, "Science, save me. Medicine, save me. Philosophy, save me. Politics, save me." The Bible says, "Put not your trust in princes, in mortal men in whom there is no help." Call on Jesus. Call on him. So you see, he starts calling on Jesus. Again, this man may be physically blind, but he has spiritual insight. He knows he's got a problem, and hearing the solution, he applies it in his life. Are you praying? He may be blind, but he ain't deaf. And faith comes by hearing. So you see, stage one, the perception of the problem. Stage two, the proclamation that's proclaimed, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." If you can't do anything else, and you're in the middle of the night and you're having torments in the night, just cry out, "Jesus, Jesus, have pity on me." See, again, call on the Lord. Stage three, there is a perseverance that produces. Pay attention, church, we need to hear this one. Too many of us give up too easily. It says here that they rebuked him, the crowd. "Stop," they said, "be quiet." Yet he kept calling all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." He just kept calling. And it says here, so Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." But you notice, it took a little while, didn't it? And listen, there's two ways he has to persevere. First of all, there are people rebuking him, telling him to be quiet. Be quiet. You know, the fact is, when we try to put our trust in God, I know that some of you had some obstacles to overcome this morning to get here. Amen? Someone said, "Don't you know a storm is coming in?" That's why I'm going. Don't you... wasting all that time going to that church and putting that money in the collection. We could use that money for something else. Anyone had any rebuke to suffer today? You and that old-fashioned religion and those religious folks with their sky god. Come on, church. There's a lot of hostility today. A lot of folks rebuking us for putting our trust in Jesus. Oh, but church, he keeps crying. He doesn't let anyone discourage him. He says, "I've heard the name of Jesus." And he just keeps crying, "Jesus, Jesus." And not only does he experience the rebuke of the crowd, but perhaps a little discouragement. It doesn't work right away. He calls once, nothing happens. He calls again, keeps calling. Come on, church, we all been there, amen? Some of us, even in this church today, have been calling on the Lord. And the Lord just said, "Hang on." But we keep calling. Church, don't give up. I said, just keep calling. Because the text goes on to say, he just kept calling out all the more and even louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." And it simply says, Jesus stopped. He stopped and he turned and said, "Call him." And so they called the blind man, saying, "Take courage. Get up now. Jesus is calling you." Now, we're going to look at that courage word in a minute. But notice again, Don't miss this point. An awful lot of us get discouraged. And you know, we live in a kind of instant results society, and it makes it even more intense for us, you see. We're not used to waiting, are we? You know, instant download, right? Church, sometimes the Lord says, wait. Now, I don't know always why he says, wait. There's a mystery. But I know this. It's this man's faith that's going to save him. The most precious thing in your life to God is your faith. Not your money, not your physical health, not your body, none of that. The most precious thing in your life is your faith. And one of the things that all of us know about faith is that sometimes you just got to let your faith grow through patient endurance. There's just something about patient endurance that grows faith. And you just got to trust God in that. You say, no, if I would just get an instant result, then I'd really believe. No, the Lord knows us better than that. If we want to lift the heavier weights, we got to do the daily exercises. Amen? We got to persevere. We got to hang in there. All I know is that the Lord has sometimes told me in my life, wait. And all I know is it made my faith stronger. There's a mystery, but I tell you, church, he's about growing this man's faith, because it's this man's faith that's going to give him sight. Because faith comes by hearing, and this man is going to start seeing by hearing. So again, you see, church, just to quickly review the stages. The perception of the problem, stage one. The proclamation that's prescribed, stage two. Stage three, the perseverance that it produces. Jesus now stops and says, call him. It's time to work the work. Stage four, the priority that is presented. Take note of this. We often don't see this, but it's right there. He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Now, maybe he needed a little help to get there because he can't see too well. But all I know is it says he threw aside his cloak. Now, you say, well, so what? Listen, pay attention. This is perhaps the most important and critical thing that he owned. Why do I say that? The poor in Jesus' time were often homeless, and they had to sleep out in the elements. And those of you who've been, and I've been to Jericho, and some of us here in this church, we've been to Jericho. You know, Israel, that whole area, the Holy Land, is a very arid climate, very dry. The thing about low humidity is that even in the summertime, when the sun goes down, the temperature drops like a rock. You can be in the 90s and drop into the 40s within a half hour. You see, you can die that way. Are you praying with me? And so critical was it to have a cloak that the book of Deuteronomy forbids anyone from taking a loan from a poor person of the cloak. If you dare take it, I'll just read it from Deuteronomy here. If a man is poor, do not ever go to sleep with his pledge in your possession. Return his cloak at sunset so that he may sleep in it. It's not a blankie. It's not a security blanket. It's to survive. Hypothermia can kill you in the middle of the night. See this man, perhaps the most critical and the most precious thing that he owned. He probably didn't have a home. He needed that cloak, but he cast it aside to go to Jesus. Church, are you praying with me? See how the Lord had to grow this man's faith? Now his faith is strong enough that even the most important thing that he was relying on for survival, he casts aside to go to Jesus. There's an old song that just says, there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. Nothing between. And so it is, church, that there's a kind of a freedom that he has to go to Jesus. Don't miss it. A lot of us are calling on the Lord, but there's something between us and the Lord. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know. I know some of the things that get in my way of going to the Lord. I know. I hope you do. But ask the Lord to show you. Are there some things that you're relying on that really you shouldn't be relying on? That you should cast aside and run to the Lord? Is there anything between you, your soul, and the Savior? All right. Moving on to the next stage again. Remember, stage one, perception of the problem. Stage two, proclamation that's prescribed. Stage three, the perseverance that produces. Stage four, the priority that's presented. And then stage five, the permission that is procured. Jesus says something very odd. He looks at a blind man and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, who's really blind here, huh? Don't miss that question, because the Lord's asking you that question. And don't presume that you're ready to really be healed. I tell you a solemn and a sad truth, church. Most people do not really want healing. They just want relief. And there's a big difference. There is a huge difference between healing and relief. And most people just want relief because healing costs something. And healing brings changes. It takes guts to be healed. You don't think so? Talk to an addict. It takes guts for a person who's stuck on alcohol or crack or sex to finally say, "I need healing. I need to be free of this. No, Lord, just sprinkle a little magic fairy dust and I'll feel a little better and that'll be all I need today." The Lord is in the healing business. See? And most of us just say, "No, Lord, just a little relief." Healing. And so the Lord says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He needs that man's consent. And he needs your consent. And ask yourself, am I just about healing or relief? Listen, when this man is no longer blind, his life is changed. It will no longer be acceptable for him to sit by the roadside begging, which may not be very pleasant, but it is all he knows. Now, more will be expected. Are you praying with me? That's why we fear healing, because we somehow know that if the Lord really takes away some of our struggles, all the little excuses and things that we've been relying on ain't going to work anymore. More will be expected of someone to whom more has been given. What do you want me to do for you? And the Lord says that to you as well as to me. And the man says, "I want to see." Praise the Lord. He's ready. He's ready to make the changes and to accept the changes that will come into his life for there to be real healing. Not just a few coins in the cup now, real healing. Oh, Jesus, have pity on me. And so you see, the perseverance that produces, now the priority that's presented, and then the permission that's procured. What do you want me to do? Ask the Lord to lead you and me to that point where if there are things in our life that need real healing, that we're willing to accept the changes that that healing brings. And then we come to the final stage. It simply says, the path that is pursued. Jesus told him, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the way. Now pay attention, church. You know, in some of the other healings, we see the Lord smears something on the eyes. We see that he does something. He lays hands. But here he simply announces, "Your faith has saved you." And he says, immediately the man receives his sight. And notice too, he follows Jesus on the way. All of these points are critical. How does the man come to see? By hearing. He hears about Jesus. He puts faith in him. And not just a simple, "Oh yeah, I believe, I said the creed," faith. A faith that was so radical, he pitched everything aside to go to Jesus. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Oh, the Lord had him wait, strengthened his faith for a few minutes to the point where he could finally cast things aside and run to Jesus. And now, after all that faith, Jesus says to him, I don't need to smear anything on your eyes. I don't need to put a hand on your head. It's your faith. It's your hearing that has given you your sight, because your hearing lit up your faith. I strengthened your faith. You cast aside everything to follow me. Now receive your sight. A man who saw by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing from the Word of God. And so it is, church, today, for all of us. We're on this journey. We struggle to see. We struggle to have meaning in our life. We struggle for healing. We struggle for so many things. Oh, Lord, Lord, just give me the vision to see so I have meaning and purpose and understanding in my life. And the Lord says, you want to see? Listen up. Listen up. And let me go to work and grow your faith. And your faith will require things of you. It will require that you cast some things aside. It will require that you have the guts that it takes to accept that there may need to be real changes in your life. Some sins you need to let go of. Some gifts you need to admit you have and start using. There are things that need to change in your life. I can bring you that healing, but it takes faith. What do you want me to do for you, says the Lord? What do you want? And again, just keep listening. Let the Lord grow your faith. And little by little, we finally come to the point where we can say, I do believe, Lord. I want to see. I have it on the best of authority that as a man received his sight and started to follow Jesus up the road, that he was singing an old gospel song. He just started singing all of a sudden. Walk in the light. Beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around me by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. A man who saw by hearing.